Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rochester's New Country, 92.5 WBEE. Welcome into the B Morning Coffee Club. We are looking for these morning clouds to turn into afternoon sun. Today's high, 50 degrees, 36 now downtown. And we're joined by Dr. Michael Mendoza, our public health director from Monroe County. Good morning, Dr. Mendoza. How are you?
Good morning. Very good. Very good. It's a good day outside, and hopefully we'll get some nice weather coming up soon.
Ben, you hang in there. I'm telling you. I'm quite certain that you had no idea what you were signing up for when you took this job, but you continue to hang in there.
Well, nobody did. I mean, honestly, this is unprecedented, and nobody signed up for this. Nobody knew that this was coming, but I have to say that we've had a really good effort locally, and I got to really give my thanks to the community for working together to get through these tough times.
You have a great perspective on how we are doing in terms of not only the rest of the state, but also the country. How do you think that Monroe County continues to battle the COVID-19? Are we following the rules, staying in? Is there more that we can do? What do you think?
Well, you know, I think it's important to pause and reflect on all that we have accomplished, because certainly there's a lot more to do. And in my role, I'm always focusing on what more we need to do. But I think, you know, having a perspective as a community that we've gotten through at least the initial phase of this, you know, we were very worried that we would have a surge right around now. And there's no sign of that coming in the least. In fact, quite the opposite. We're looking at trying to reopen the community. So as we look to do that, I do think that we need to keep calling on the public to remain patient, because it's difficult. What we're going through is very difficult. And unfortunately, you know, the end is not really that near. You know, and to some degree, a lot of hard work is still yet to come. Because as we look to reopen businesses and services and parks and all the things that we miss, you know, we're going to need to tap into that resilience that we've been developing for the last 8 weeks. And so, you know, as much as I want to get things going again, I do want to make sure that we're careful about it, because we don't want to put ourselves back where we began.
Dr. Mendoza, you know, we get calls from people all the time saying, you know, it's too much negative news. And we do try to find the positive stories. But for your folks at the health department, the Monroe County Health Department, what is the good news?
The good news is that we've avoided having that surge. You know, that is the good news. I mean, unfortunately, we have lost a number of people to this illness, and that is very, very sad, but it could have been much worse. And so, you know, our perspective is that we've been working hard together, and we've hopefully saved a lot of lives. And so while it is difficult to see those sad numbers go by, I do think that, you know, there is a lot that we can rejoice in, and that is what keeps us going. And the second thing I would add is that the community has been so gracious in their support, and they're sending their thank you notes and all of these things, and none of us signed up for that either. And it's just so nice to see that kind of support from the community. It's really very gratifying.
We're speaking with Dr. Michael Mendoza. So the latest news from the Southern Tier, the Horseheads area, is that a resident got it a second time. And this... is this the first around here, or is this something that is possible for this virus in the future?
Well, this is one of those questions that we're still learning a lot about. And when it comes to this question of reinfection, one of the first things that we had been sort of following, you know, months ago now, is, you know, do people fully recover and then get reinfected, or is it that they've had a lingering infection for a while and they simply relapse? So from an infection standpoint, those are two different things, even though they sound somewhat similar. But at the end of the day, what that makes us wonder about is the immunity that we might develop after we are ill. And so, like yourself, Steve, if you've become ill and you've gotten better, you know, there is still some question out there as to whether those antibodies that presumably you've developed because you're now better, if that protects you forever, if it protects you completely, or if it's only temporary. You know, those are the questions that we're still trying to sort out.
Well, then my question for you, Dr. Mendoza, is can you use me to help find ways to determine whether you can be reinfected? What can I do to help you guys?
Well, I would suggest calling the American Red Cross first, because there are a number of opportunities there for you to potentially donate plasma, donate blood, but plasma products from your blood, and potentially help other people who are currently very ill. You know, that is one of the areas of active study right now, and so that is something that I would offer up to anybody who's gone through this and gotten better. And then beyond that, you know, simply just educating everybody you possibly can about how, you know, although this can be very serious, and certainly for older people and others, it can be very grave, but the vast majority of people who've had this have gotten better, and that is the most important thing.
Well, and I have gotten pretty much better. I'm about 85%. You know, I'm an older guy, so, you know, there's some things that I still have to work on. I played a round of golf the other day, and I was exhausted after 9 holes. But so, you know, so I'm still working on it. I'm a work in progress, Dr. Mendoza.
Aren't we all? We're all a work in progress.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's awesome. Are we still looking towards fall for another possible surge, or is there a period of time before that we need to be, we need to be vigilant anyway, but concerned with?
You know, from my perspective, I'm looking at a number of horizons. You know, the first horizon is May 15th. The short-term horizon is what can we do to prepare to get ourselves ready to start to reopen? Because as much as I want to be cautious, I also don't want to be too cautious, because I do think that there are risks to staying where we are. And you mentioned some of them earlier. The mental health implications of living like we are very real. You know, the economic ones certainly are very real, and there are health benefits to reopening as well. You know, as much as we talk about the risks of a surge and all of that, you know, reopening healthcare means that people can get their preventive care, their routine care, their, you know, elective surgeries and so forth. So there are benefits to reopening all the same. So that's a short-term horizon. I think, frankly, looking to the fall is really a very distant future for me, because I think there's a lot of work that we need to do between now and then. And if we do that work right, you know, hopefully, you know, the fall will be a much more normal fall, a fall that we're much more used to. But there's a lot that's got to happen between now and then. There's questions about vaccines and treatments and certainly getting through the summer. You know, there's a lot of preparation. So, you know, we're looking ahead, certainly, but there's quite a bit to do in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
And my big question is, and I have not been able to find an answer, how can I get an antibody test? Is that just not something that's accessible?
You know, there are antibody tests available, but I would caution, because right now the antibody tests are not very valid. They're not very reliable. You know, the allure of getting an antibody test is that if it's positive, you might be led to conclude that you're protected, that you're immune. And unfortunately, there have been a number of reports that these antibody tests have a high false positive rate, meaning that you can come back with a positive result even though you don't have immunity. And so if you think through what that means, you could be led falsely to believe that you're protected, go out into the world, stop using your precautions, take off your mask, and inadvertently, you know, infect somebody else or potentially get ill yourself. You know, so those are the kinds of things we've got to be very careful about. I do think the antibody test will get better in the coming weeks and we will have greater availability, but, you know, we're not promoting it quite yet because it's not very reliable. And so for right now, we want to keep to what we know to be true: social distancing, hand washing, wear your face covering, all of the things that we've been talking about for weeks. Those are the messages that we still want to, you know, emphasize.
Yeah, selfishly, I just want to know if that's what I had. That's it.
Well, yeah, don't we all? Yeah. Don't we all? So I went and got the antibody test at Wegmans a couple weeks ago just to see the process, and I was negative. And, you know, it's only actually helpful if it's negative, meaning that you just know what you've confirmed what you've already known. That's the antibody test for now.
Dr. Mendoza, what about basic testing? I mean, we're at the point where anybody who wants to be tested just to see if they have COVID-19, are we able to do that yet? I drove by the MCC site yesterday. You know, these sites are around, but I think we still have to remind people you have to have the okay to get a test.
Yes, that is true. So the diagnostic test that you're referring to, the State Department of Health and the Governor's Office has established a number of sites across the state, and we're fortunate to have one right here at Monroe Community College. You know, there is a website, COVID-19 screening at health.ny.gov, where you can go and answer a number of questions. It currently does ask if you're a first responder or a healthcare worker or been exposed, but then there's another question about an essential worker. And it actually doesn't define what an essential worker is. And so I would frankly encourage people to, you know, answer that question honestly, but broadly, you know, and I think if you can answer any of those questions, yes, you would be eligible to get a test. And I think there are a number of people who fit into those four categories in our community who can get tested now. And so I would very much encourage people to go get tested, primarily if you're symptomatic, but even if not, because we know a significant number of people can have the infection even without symptoms. So, you know, the only risk in doing that is if you're in one of those essential job roles and you're positive, then you're going to have to stay out of work. And that's the risk to the workforce. But I do think that the access, the availability of testing is greatly growing as we speak.
That's great. That's great. This is all such, it's just great information. And we really appreciate you taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule to help us educate other people and to educate us at the same time. So thanks, Dr. Mendoza. Thanks for everything you're doing for us. And thanks for helping us get the word out. We appreciate it. And remember, we're your platform. If you ever need to get anything out, you just let us know.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. We're all in this together. Thank you.
We are.
I just want to say very quickly here, Dr. Mendoza, I want to thank, and you can give all your folks over there, the County Health Department, a pat on the back. When I was going through my process for 3 weeks, they were calling every day. They were fantastic people, and it was so reassuring and so gratifying. You can take a pat on the back and hand it right down to each and every one of your workers. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I will pass that along. Thank you so much.
Please do. Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. You have a good day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.